بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله. We praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Ask Him send peace and blessing. His beloved and our beloved Sayyidina Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. I hope everyone's well, inshallah. Let's get started. This is the last session for this small dars on Dihaiya of Imam Ibn Abi Dawud, rahimahullah ta'ala. Sorry, one second, I'll just plug in a lot more light in this room. Apologies. So we're just finishing off the last section, inshallah. وَإِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لِلْخَلْقِ شَافِعٌ وَقُلْ فِي عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ حَقٌّ مُوَضَّحُ. And surely the Messenger of Allah will intercede for the creation and say that the punishment of the grave is the truth made clear. There are two matters here. One is the according to the Quran, Sunnah, the belief in, and this is informed us through revelation. One is the Shafa'ah, the intercession of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Allah has given this honor and privilege to our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And second is the punishment, and by extension, of course, reward of the Qabr. Although it's mentioned Adab Qabr, but of course, as an extension, that not everyone, of course, gets Adab Qabr. Some people are getting Na'im, reward, enjoyment in the Qabr that comes along. When we're talking about Adab Qabr, we're talking about the, what happens in the Qabr, the good and the bad as well. But generally, it's mentioned in the, as an in Aqidah, under Adab al Qabr. But we extrapolate from that both conditions. Shafa'i linguistically means to join two things. So Shafa'i, I hope you understand what Shafa'i is. So Shafa'i is intercession. You intercede for somebody. You put your word in. You speak on behalf of somebody. So you're joining your word. Someone's making a claim, right? Or defending a position or something. And by doing Shafa'i, you are joining your word. Like, let's say you're doing the Shafa'i, then you're joining their word to your word, your word to their word, which will add weight. You know, you're interceding for the person, meaning you're arguing on their behalf, and it's to add weight to the argument, right? And in the definition that's given, it is to ask for goodness for somebody else, right? It's to ask, request, to make a request of good, of khair, for somebody else, right? That you strive or you seek or you request or you ask for good for somebody else. And there are many types of shafa'ah. There's the shafa'ah kubra and uzma, the great shafa'ah, which is the shafa'ah, or the, it's called the shafa'ah al-amma as well. It is also known as maqam al-mahmud. This is the shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a day of judgment. And it's promised to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's Maqam al-Mahmud. This Shafa'ah is, we mentioned in the dua after Salat, Allahumma rabbi hadhihi da'wati at-tamma sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sallam fadila darja wa ba'athu maqam mahmud wa ba'athu maqam mahmuda. So we make this dua. So we're asking Allah to give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this station. It literally means a praiseworthy station, right? That's one way to translate it. You might see other things in other books, but that's a praiseworthy station, like a special position and privilege that is given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the form of the shafa'ah. And by extension, by asking Allah to give that, then we actually, what we're asking for is that Allah make this intercession for us, right? That we're not deprived of it. And this is for his ummah. So there's many different shafa'ahs given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The shafa'ah of judgment, the shafa'ah, you have to think about on the day of judgment, on Qiyamah, what is the condition of humanity in the, you know, the horror of the day of judgment, you know, the fearful sight that is there, the sweating people up to the ankles and waist and the neck, people are drowning in the sweat, the shouting and it's Allah protect us and save us, but the horrific scene that'll be on the day of judgment, right? And people want it's so bad that the people want the hisab to start, and the kuffar will actually start going to Jahannam just they want to end the hisab, right? That's how the interrogation is so bad that the people wish that, and Allah save us from that. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha asked, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about the people being naked, barefooted and naked, and she said she was shocked that people be naked, like standing next to each other. He said, the matter is so severe, meaning more or less, that the matter is so severe that people, they will not be oblivious to the fact that people are standing all naked around them, you know? So it is that severe, we see that in this dunya as well. When you have to have an emergency, Allah protect and save us all and our families. And, but when you see very severe situation, like an emergency to the hospital, you know, it's where people observe hijab, we cover our awra, but in that situation, like you're in an emergency, you're excused, obviously. I mean, people are not doing it unnecessarily, but like you're not even, that's far from the mind when he's trying to save the life of a person, right? So even in his dunya, you see this and experience this in severe situations. So in life, death, and those other concerns become, they melt away, the petty things and so forth melt away. And even in this is like a person standing naked and they will not be noticed by the person because the people are so absorbed and so fearful of what's about. Because think about it, what's about to happen? Judgment is being made about where you will go for eternity. I mean, this is what's like your judgment, like a decision is about to be made by Rabbul Alameen for or against you based on how you lived in this world. Right? Like, I mean, that is a scary thought. Like it's a permanent. And the scary thing is like the hasra, the regret that will be experienced, there'll be no hasra like that hasra. Like the hasra, the regrets that people will have, right? Like people have regrets in this life on things they've missed out, opportunities they haven't used up, you know? And Allah save us, the regret that's on the day of judgment, like may Allah save us from that. That in itself is a punishment for the people. People will not be worried about, the whole dunya will, and all its revolutions and lands and countries and all those things of dunya will disappear, will become irrelevant. This dunya in its entirety will become irrelevant. People are trying to establish world orders and people are trying to establish states and people are vying for, whatever they're vying for. All of these will be irrelevant when it comes when on the day of judgment, these are not even a blip on the thing. Yeah, what you're responsible is your deeds, your good and bad deeds. This is what's going to happen, your iman, right? One of the advices I think I might have mentioned before, Qari Bashir Sahib, he teaches in Masjid Nabawi. I asked him, he's been teaching Quran in Masjid Nabawi 50 years. So I asked him parting advice just 2 months ago. I was doing Quran there for a while and actually I was fixing my Surah Fatiha and it took me 10 days. And after 10 days, he said, it's permissible to pray Salat behind you. I'm an imam for many, many years. but alhamdulillah, that's high praise from him. And I just asked for some parting. He says, teach Quran. He said, on a day of judgment, in all that horror, there's only one book that will be there, which is the book of Allah, which will intercede. That's one of the intercessions. There's prophets have intercessions and ulama have intercessions. There's different intercessions on a day of judgment. So, but Rasulullah SAW has given multiple, right? And the descriptions are there in the books, and this is narrated by it's mutawatir, and it's by, there's no if buts about this. There's shafa'i is something. It's part of aqidah that we have to accept. And, people will go to all the prophets and they will, all the prophets will say, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. And people go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they will say, and he will, Allah, and yes, he goes, I'm for that, right? And then Rasulullah makes sajda and Allah will inspire and praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he was in sajda for a long time. Then Allah says, lift your head and sal tu'ata, and ask, you be given. And he will intercede, and his intercession will be accepted. Right? So as for, there are people that, the second matter is regarding the, there's other shafa'ah, so there's many shafa'ahs in the day of judgment. There'll be a shafa'ah, then the people have no hisab, and we ask Allah to bless us. The dua for that actually is Allahumma hasibni masnoon dua, Allahumma hasibni hisab and yaseer, Allah make my accounting a light accounting. A light accounting means that you're not asked. Right, without hisab. And so we make dua that Allah enter into Jannah without hisab. So there'll be a shafa'a done for people, some people to enter into Jannah without hisab, without an accounting. Some will be that they'll be taken out, shafa'a will be done by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for people to be taken out of the fire. Some that their azab is lightened, like Abu Talib, his uncle, he will be asked to, he will ask that his punishment is reduced, and his punishment will be that he stands on burning coals and his brain boils. Allah protect us from that. And in Jannah, to elevate the people's stations, levels, right? This is dua of shafa'ah. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah save us from such conditions, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters Jannah without hisab. The second matter in this line is azab al-qabr. We previously touched on munkar al-nakir. There's a hadith of Bara' radiallahu anhu, and that the soul is taken out, it's taken to heavens, it sees a place that did not, and there's a long details, and there's large amount of hadith and details of this. There is a tendency in some people, certain groups, for whatever reason, they deny the azab al-qabr, but this is going against mutawatir and something very clear as day. And one of the reasons they deny is because they cannot process it with their senses. Well, matters of the ghaib, because the thing is, the grave is sort of attached, it's that middle area. It's not fully in the akhirah in the sense of that it's like it's in the barzakh, right? And the barzakh is in the intermediary stage. And the barzakh is sort of like connected like to the this world in the sense of that we deliver the dead body to the cemetery and in the grave, right? So because we don't see anything in the grave, like, you know, when you put the body in the grave, but there's a mystery, right? There's a things that are beyond our perception. Things can be beyond our perception, even things with our own senses. We cannot see everything. Right, but we cannot deny, because if we haven't experienced it, we can't deny it, right? And or we haven't heard it or seen it. So this is this doesn't work. So in naql, from the narrations, the hadith and so forth, it's clear cut. You know, this is something that we have to accept. But even from the from the aql, from the rational side of things, our senses are not, you know, like they're limited, and because they're limited, the ilm, the absence of knowledge of a thing doesn't make that thing absent, right? The absent, right? Like something that we don't have the knowledge of its existence doesn't mean, but we know that it exists because the naql, the narration, have told us. So our five senses that to which we experience the universe is limited, right? It's limited. For the mu'min, he will wish to hasten the qiyamah, right, in the grave, and his time will be very short, and he'll enjoy himself. In Ahwal al-Qubur, I went through the series. I did the recordings for that book. Ibn Rajab Hanbali, the translation is available. I think Turas or White Thread, they've done a translation of the horrors of the Day of Judgment by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. And it's a really, really eye-opener book because there's so many details. As far as I know, it's through tawatur. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam. Regardless, for the Hanbalis, if it's in his palm, then it just tells you two things. And we had this discussion of Ahad before as well. So it doesn't make a difference in that sense. Wallahu a'lam. For aqidah purpose, for the Hanbalis anyway. Yeah, so to say that I didn't see or hear it and say it doesn't exist, well, that's a foolish way to look at things. And there are mysteries, right? Even though it's connected to this world, there are things that are unperceivable to us right now. We have malaika writing our good deeds, right? Or bad deeds. I mean, the whole universe is malaika working constantly all around us that we have no idea of. We have no, we have nothing to do with them, right? So we believe in it and we affirm it at the end of the day, regardless of, you know, whether Our logic is also very limited because we're talking about something that is beyond normal comprehension of the normal rules of the world from the description that are there. And the kafir, you know, for the believer will want to hasten qiyamah and finish out of excitement, and the kafir will be squeezed and punished, and he wished, you know. The next line, لا تكفرن أهل الصلاة وإن عصوا فكلهم يعصي وذو العرش يصفح. So there might be a book on this. They deserve shafa'ah, like even going give salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, there's so many a'mal, like even the du'a of adhan. I apologize because you asked a question to remember things, and it's very late. It's midnight here, and I'm trying to recall. And I don't know what happens. Like, I realize your brain is so. Maybe if you do a small search online, you know, the things that maybe I'm sure there's a book on this. There's a I'll have to now check myself. SubhanAllah. So even just saying the kalima, dying Medina with sabr, excessive salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and taslim. Ziyaru to qabr Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The grave of Salim, the dua of Adhan. The 70,000 the Rasul Salim intercede for, they'll end the Jannah without a hisab. Because of they you know, they didn't use any sort of talismans and so forth. Like the real, like solid muwahidun, ani mutawakkin, relying only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah alam, inshallah, different topic, but we should look into that because we'll need everything that we have. We will need all of these. So we should invest in them, inshallah. And do not make takfir for those. وَلَا تُكَفِّرَنَّ أَهْلِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِنْ عَصَوْا فَكُلُّمْ يَعْصِي وَذُو الْعَرْشِ يَصْفَحُ. Do not make takfir for those who pray even if they commit sins, since all of them commit sins while the owner of the throne forgives graciously. So batil is the two extremes, and these are both blameworthy in Islam, where two extremes of overdoing things and underdoing things, right? And so we warned against this. And the first is the overdoing of it, right? Which is unjustified takfir. There is real takfir, like Qadianis. We can outright say if a person claims they negate outright the Durriyat of Deen, which is one Khatm Nabuwwah, the finality of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, outright we can say, you know, like we don't have to even blink and just say that they're kafir, right? That type of, that's a different thing. We can say, you know, someone who, there was a case here in Australia almost 20 years ago where one man, academic, and he, you know, it basically said in public that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, na'uzu billah, was deficient, and the Quran was for 1400 years ago. I mean, if you attack Quran and you attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what else is left in Islam? And my father, rahimullah, went hard, like as we say in Australian, we went hardy, like he went, you know, nuclear on him. And in every media organization, he should not be sitting in an Islamic organization. He's a kafir. you know, like openly, like, so, so it's, you know, there are places, you know, there's a place for that, right? And that's a place to speak up, not to keep quiet, right? It's affecting the Muslim community in a bad way and it's justifiable, but it's not like, but here it's given the general rule in default mode, like that's someone who stepped over the mark openly and so forth and, you know, is damaging Islam and he is actually committing kufr, right? And do not make takfir for those who pray. Generally, this has been explained as people of Qibla. When you say Ahlul Salati, then we're talking about Ahlul Qibla, the people that of the Qibla. It could be indicative of the ones who pray Salat or don't pray Salat as well. As in the Hanbali Mazhab, it's very strongly emphasized. There is a misunderstanding. People misuse the Hanbali Mazhab that Imam Ahmad held this view, so forth. But the and you can see from here, the main position of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, which is that all the madahib agree upon, all the people Ahl Sunnah, that someone who commits a sin does not become a kafir. Someone who commits a major sin even does not become a kafir. Sins don't make you a kafir, right? Kufr makes you a kafir, but sins don't make you a kafir. So this is like a basic like premise, like everyone has to know. As for Salat, then go to Kitab al-Salat and the commentaries there will tell you the condition of someone who abandons Salat. Yes, the Hanbalis have a very strong position on this. Firstly, it could be a person who considered Salat not fard, right? Just denies that it's even part of deen or something like that. So then that's to do more with kufr. But there's a conditions for it. There's shurut for it. There's conditions for it. It's firstly, it's not the job of average person to declare a abandoner of prayer as a kafir. It's a job of a qadi. It's part of the judiciary process, not part of the no masjid organization, committees, councils, board of imams, darul iftas can do this. This is a state responsibility of a qadi who would declare someone a kafir based on abandoning salah after he's been in prison and his health for many days and there's a whole process and he's reminded and so forth. And he still refuses and still denies, like he's really committed to not praying Salat. I mean, this person. So this generally, this will come under the hukum of a murtad by that point, right? It'd be very hard. Someone is reprimanded, warned, all the consequences are laid out for him, still refuses and doesn't consider part of Islam and refuses to do it. That means this person has got a vendetta or he's got an agenda. And he's trying to dismantle Islam. It's not about the Salat. It's more something bigger and deeper. So Salat, and again, this is not the duty. And this is important to understand. The Tariqul Salat, the abandoner of prayer, the person who abandons or leaves the prayer. In Australia, we had this situation in the 90s. It happened, real cases my father, rahmullah, he dealt with, where the ladies learned a version of Islam from some group or whatever. And then they said, no, your husband is kafir. So he goes, yeah, my nikah is broken automatically. So, you know, these things have consequences. But the thing is that the basic, if you're relying on the Hanbali Mazhab, then the Hanbali Mazhab doesn't even allow this, right? There's a due process for this as well. And do not make takfir of those who pray, even if they commit sins, since all of them commit sins. See, like you have to, there's a caveat for the prayer. Generally, it's translated as people of Qibla, right? Ahlul Qibla. Do not make takfir on Ahlul Qibla, right? As a general thing, regardless of what you like, don't like them, if they're committing sins, the point of mention, this is committing sins. If they're committing sins, then the sins are not sufficient to, like he's got some sign of Islam, right? An adherence to Salat or some acts of Islam, then you cannot. Kulluhum ya'asi, everyone commits sin, but the ma'asum, who are the ma'asum, the malaika, the angels, and the hadith mentioned, kullu bani adam khata'an wa khayru khata'ayna tawabun. All these children of Adam, they make sins, commit sins, they do wrongs. The best of the ones who do wrong are the ones who make tawbah. So, you know, and there's many, many hadiths, ayat al-Quran, hadiths about people getting kafara of their sins, expiation of sins, sins being forgiven, istighfar, tawbah. These wash away sins, praying five times Salat is like Rasulullah mentioned, so many different ways, beautiful ways expressed it, like shaking of the tree, he shook it with his hands and the least of the sins fall off from this person. Wrongs and sins a person has done. Or for example, if a person was to bathe in five streams, you know, on the way home and would there any dirt remain his body? And said, no, no dirt will remain his body. Similarly, the effect of salat. So all of these acts, good deeds that they get the person forgiven, right, is important to understand. So wadhul arshi yasfahu, the owner of the throne, the owner of the throne forgives graciously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives graciously. So this is like caveat that he's putting at the front. He's putting the limitation. Why? Because in this matter, there are people that have gone into extremes. وَلَا تَعْتَقِدْ رَأْيَ خَوَارِجِ إِنَّهُ مُقَالِمًا يَهْوَاهُ يُرْدِي وَيَفْضَحُ. And do not hold a belief like that of the Khawarij, which is the first sect in Islam, and a position held by only those who desire it. And it is destructive and disgraceful. They're the first group sect that appeared. They even fought Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And the hadith mentioned by Zul Khuwaisara, and he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like, you know, do justice, be fair in the Maal al-Ghanima distribution. So like already there was like a extremist, ghulu, exaggerated version of Islam in that progenitor, like he's the forefather of like what became the Khawarij eventually, or that ideology. And so even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not, you know, they reproached Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you see them, if you read Tablis Iblis of Ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi, so if you go through Tablis Iblis, the devil's deception, that's I think what it's called in English. So that, I think the first section is about Khawarij. You read about them, you'll recognize certain traits in certain people that you probably might have encountered today. Like the extremism in their statements, the way they make the blood of Muslims halal, the way they jump to conclusions, they are judge, jury, and executioner. Like that's, they have this certain, so what they did was, can you imagine like a people that brought their own attitude to Islam, right? So Islam is not just doing the actions and the correct belief, but also the attitude as well. Islam informs that, like how you should be as a person and the way you should look at the world, right? And so even though Rasulullah was not, for them, was not above reproach, astaghfirullah. Like he challenged Rasulullah and ordered him to do justice to be fair. And he goes, am I not the one who's the most just? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Sahaba, Rasulullah told about the Khawarij, told him because they'll go like an arrow goes through, you know, like something that it will come in very quickly in Islam and leave it out of Islam. The extremism is like that. They'll burn out and they will go out of Islam. And they will hold on to certain aspects of deen to the point that Rasulullah told Sahaba radiallahu anhu that you will belittle your ibadah. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the story is there in Tablis Iblis, like he was sent by Ali radiallahu anhu, on Ali's permission, he asked to go as an ambassador. And he negotiated, he bought 3,000 and back to make tawbah in his hand. If I remember, 2,000 or 3,000 came back with him, made tawbah. This is when they first appeared, right? Because this is when the problems happened between in the time of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Then in the middle, when they were trying to arbitrate and solve it, this group appears in extremes. Good. There's no arbitrations only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're an extreme group. They saw everything in very black and white. And if you read their statements to the commanders of Ali radiallahu anhu, like you we want the hudud to be implemented properly. We want the Baytul Mal to be distributed more fairly. Like it's very, like the things that they're asking for seem right, but like they're asking Ali radiallahu anhu to do the right thing. I mean, they're told their forefather told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so anybody else would be also copying it from them as well. So, and their salat and Quran, so Rasulullah said that you will belittle like your Quran reading, your salat. And Abdullah bin Abbas, when he went into the tent, like can you imagine a companion of the Prophet who took ilm from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and practices deen according to what Rasulullah directly taught him, sees these people, feels inferiority in front of them in the ibadah, like how full on they are in the ibadah. So they, you know, they would do takfir like outright, like on everybody. They did takfir on everybody. They did takfir on Sahaba radiallahu anhu, right? So there was no like exception for them. So, And they, one of the deals they offer is the ayat of Quran, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاءُ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Right? وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. That whoever kills a mu'min intentionally, his recompense is Jahannam forever. Right? He'll be in it forever. So he'll be in it forever, meaning that the person who commits a sin, for example, murder, major sin, then he becomes kafir and he'll be in Jahannam forever. You understand? He become a kafir and is now a kafir forever. Right? So the answer to this is given that firstly, this is talking about a person who kills believing it to be correct, that it's halal, or does zina, for example, applies to other things as well, believes it to be halal, does drinks alcohol, considered to be halal, istihlal, and like it's considered a halal. So it's not about the act itself, but it's about the kufr that is attached to it. The other one here, that khulud, like eternity is here, it comes in the meaning of long time, right? Not eternity as in forever and ever without an end, right? But extremely long, eons and eons, like it might as well be forever sort of thing. The other one is that this is done as a warning, right? And this cannot be criticized, that Allah doesn't fulfill his warning. Like he's giving a warning that I could put you in Jahannam for forever, right? And, you know, but what it refers to is that it's like a threat is if it's not followed through is something praiseworthy, right? My teacher, one of my teachers, he's a teacher and also classmate's father. And he said that the father used to say, look, after 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, I'm going to punish you. You know, I'm going to hit you. For you know, they did something wrong. Did so, he wouldn't punish. He wouldn't punish on the spot. I mean, this is a tarbiyah thing, right? So they understand that the punishment is not out of anger; it's out of actually tarbiyah, right? You know, but he says sometimes he used to forget. We used to let it go, you know, and that's like it's considered like good morals or good behavior, and Allah's above, you know, our small examples of people, but it's just to understand that when somebody doesn't come fulfill their, it's not like you promise something good to give to somebody and then you didn't fulfill it. That's breaking a promise. And that's in the negative generally, right? While this is something that where a promise is punishment and the punishment is excused and forget. So this is something praiseworthy, right? So the Mu'tazila, a later group, agreed with Khawarij, sort of half-half. You know, they have a sort of, there's agreements on certain matters, aspects of sins and stuff. We'll go that through in a minute. وَلَا تَكُ مُرْجِيًّا لَعُوبًا بِدِينِهِ أَلَا إِنَّمَا الْمُرْجِيُ بِالدِّينِ يَمْزَحُ. And do not be a murji, the one who delays. These are groups that came later. One who plays games with his religion. Surely the murji is making... mocking the deen that is not making taking it seriously. So the other extreme of irja is delays murjia. They remove the action from iman, right? So one makes you kafir because of a sin, right? In indiscretion, they go to the extreme regarding that. And then there's another group which basically renders all of deen pretty much like sort of, they are today, like where basically anybody can is right in their own way. These words, perennialism. So it's basically like everyone's sort of right in their own way. There are many paths, and it's sort of like wishy-washy thing. There's no clear-cut aqidah. So it's sort of like a these modernist sort of groups are very irja like in their things. Like, you know, it's a very, they have traits of irja at different levels. They remove the action from iman. So there's one group of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat said that iman is, you know, what you say by the tongue, affirmation by the heart, justification by the tongue, and actions as well. The Jahmiya, the first group, the extremists of the Jahmiya, that iman is only in the heart. You don't have to affirm it, right? And they are kafir by consensus. The iman, then there's a karamiya, which believe the iman is only qawl. So if you've said it once, you're a mu'min, regardless of what you do and so forth. So that's like another, so that's two of the bidati groups, like you can say innovators. The third group is that it's only a'mal. Like if you do a good deed, some Mu'tazila have this view, right? Then there's a murji'a fuqaha, and this is like, it's said about, but it's Imam Hanifa rahmullah, the way he says it, it's like, and the Hanafis and the way they explain it, it sort of comes closer to the position of the Atharis, and you can say even Asharis as well, right? So that amal is also included, but this was they called the murji'a fuqaha, and especially in Kufa, this was a position that was taken. They definitely are not from the people of the actual murji'a, which say that amal is nothing, right? They're definitely not saying that. And this is why Imam Bukhari in Kitab al-Iman, at the beginning, he goes on bab after bab, you know, that zakat is from iman and salat is from iman and on, right? To make a refutation on this view of the murji'a. Because in even the this first group, the extreme group, you know, like they said, like amal doesn't even in reality, even shaitan and the kuffar have some sort of, you know, iman as well, according to them. If you could take the definition that they've given, then if it's just if you just by saying, right, then karamiya, shaitan also believes, like in, so or in reality they're also you know, believers as well, and this negates the whole of deen. So this is the other extremes, the murji'a. You can say these like slackers, right, in deen. They basically allowing, they're not overdoing, they're underdoing it and actually leaving parts of deen. وَقُلْ إِنَّمَا الْإِيمَانُ قَوْلٌ وَنِيَّةٌ وَفِعْلٌ عَلَىٰ قَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ الْمُصَرَّحُ. And say iman, faith consists of statements, intentions, and actions, the three things, according to the explicit statement of the Prophet ﷺ. That's what we go with. So, وَيَنْقُصُ طَوْرًا بِالْمَعَاسِ وَتَارَةً بِطَاعَةِ يَنْمِي وَفِي الْوَزْنِ يَرْجَحُ. And it decreases sometimes, iman does, due to disobedience, and sometimes because of obedience it grows. And on the scale, it will outweigh other things. So it'll be weighed, it'll actually, you know, it's a thing that is, the amal is something that will be weighed. The amal, we talked about this earlier, previously, and it's something that grows or increases or decreases, right? And there's ayat al-Quran and there's whole 77 branches of iman. You know, that's, it's Rasulullah ﷺ said that, you know, iman is 77. The afdal, the best is qawlu la ilaha illallah. The least is to remove something harmful from the road. These are 77 branches of iman. They're not just actions, they're branches of iman, of faith, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the increase of iman in the Quran as well, when the ayat is read. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانٍ. The increase in the iman. So, you know, they got these different positions. And then there's a position, a final position there of some Mu'tazila and Khawarij. They say that the difference between them, this last group says that, they said it's iman, amal, and statement by the tongue and affirmation of the heart, the three aspects. They affirm this. But any naqs in this, deficiency in iman, then they make it naqid of iman. They become a kafir. Do you understand? Any naqs, any deficiency in iman is kufr for them. Right? And then if it's kufr, so then it's not just about committing a sin or doing wrong. It's actually a denial. It's actually affirming that the person is actually not even Muslim anymore. So they're out of the fold of Islam according to them. The wada'anka ara' rijali wa qawlahum, and this is the final statement that wraps up the poem, the last three lines. Wada'anka ara' rijali wa qawlahum fa qawlu rasulullahi azka wa ashrahu. And keep yourself from the opinions of people and their standards, especially in the context of what you just mentioned, which is these two extremes of overdoing it, underdoing it, right? So the safest way is to avoid and stick to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the Atharis, Hanbalis, as they do, that leave the opinions, leave these over-analyzed positions and overcooked positions of these people, of these men, right? These opinion men, and stick to the wahi, That aql tells you that, naql tells you that, stick to the naql, stick to the transmitted narrations as they are. And that's the safest position to be. And what else? I do apologize. I'm very tired. I mean, we're dealing with this whole Gaza thing for the last few days and programs and online things, and it's a bit exhausting. And there's so much anger in the community as well. You know, this is not like September 11 or all those other things. You know, we had a Bali bombing here in the island near Australia, and ISIS and all these different things that happened. Those are like, here is it now, it's a very different thing. It's exhausting. I mean, I can't complain in front of what those brothers and sisters are going through over there. Allah help them. It's not suspension of aql, right? In this, use the aql to understand the naql, right? And don't change the naql, don't use different things. So, and keep yourself from the opinions of people in this, especially in these matters of aqidah, since the stance of Rasulullah is more befitting and comforting to the chest, right? Chest meaning the heart, right? Sharh of sadr, and it's more pure. His statements are more pure, and they're the best statements, right? So why not just stick with that? And because that's what Sahaba stuck to, and the Salaf stuck to. So you stick to that as well. Leave everything else aside. Explicitly affirming the Athari Aqidah. وَلَا تَكُوا مِنْ قَوْمٍ تَلَهُوا بِدِينِهِمْ فَتَحَنْ فِي أَهْلِ حَدِيثِهِ وَتَقْضَحُوا. Do not be of those who play games with their religion. Right, so these people that are doing figurative interpretations, or they are negating the sifat, or they are, attributing to Allah which should not be attributed, on and on and on, and do not be from those who play games with their religion. Right, this is not something we don't play with our deen, and attacking the people of hadith, and this is very important because Imam Ahmad rahimahullah is one of the people of hadith. Right, he's a student, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, and others, Imam Abu Dawood, and on and on. So pretty much that generation of the well-known, what we call the hadith scholarly class, that Imam Ahmad is right in the middle, and he's a teacher to many of the future imams, and they assert very strongly. And but the people will find, they'll attack Imam Bukhari, right? So وَلَا تَكُوا مِنْ قَوْمٍ تَلَهَوْا بِدِينِهِمْ فَتَطْعَنَ فِي أَهْلِ الْحَدِيثِ وَتَقْضَحُ. They will attack these imams. Right, and we mentioned previously that the Ahlul Hadith are such lovers of Rasulullah, because they're always writing Qala Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Qala Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam constantly. Right, that's one thing. But their whole work is to verify and check the honesty of people, and themselves they are above reproach. They have this huge effort that they conduct in, you know, maintaining a very high level of deen in them, their own person, and honesty and integrity. Right, we don't question the riwayah because integrity, because they're thiqah. There's a whole science around establishing who they are and their reliability in deen. So for people, وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنْ قَوْمٍ تَلَهُ بِدِينِ, because those that attack these people, they are playing with their deen, right? And reviling them, like hating them, right? And then the last line, إِذَا مَعْتَقَدْتَ الدَّهْرَ يَا صَاحِ هَذِي أو صَاحِب, صَاحِي short for صَاحِب. Yeah, it's in Arabic, like linguistic thing. أَفَأَنْتَ عَلَى خَيْرٍ تَبِيتُ وَتُصْبِحُ. And if you keep the belief and contained within this poem all your life, if you keep this, the belief contained within this poem all your life, you to keep this as my, this is what I believe in, right? Oh, my companion, right? You will be upon goodness day and night. You'll be in khair, tabitu, the night you go to sleep, and the day you awake, you wake up in the morning and you spend your day and night on khair. If you do this, if this is your belief, the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, right, and the belief of the Salaf, then you have belief, you are taking a position in which you'll be succeeding. This is all that you need. And I mentioned at the start, and I said this poem is a special place in my heart. That is, this is what I was, one of the last things that I read to my father before he passed away. In the week before that he passed, I was studying, I read several Aqidah books with him. And this is one of the things I read. And I always say that my father passed away, inshallah, on this on the aqeed of Ibn Abi Dawud. Rahmullah ta'ala, I'll accept. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and give us, and we live with Iman and die with Iman, resurrected with Iman, and that we are safe from the fire of Jahannam. And we are, Allah accept this majlis and accept these classes. And ya Allah, make it as a means of uplifting this ummah and removing these dark clouds that are there now in the ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make whatever sacrifice is given as a means of elevating the ummah and rising in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, break the shackles that are there on the ummah because of our own sins, and forgive. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat. Allahumma alif bayna qulubihim. Allah unite our hearts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala join our word, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help this ummah, your enemies, ya Allah, and the ummah's enemies, ya Allah. You assist us in at all level, inshallah, and guide us and forgive us for all our mistakes and indiscretions, and help our brothers and sisters wherever they may be, inshallah. Jazakumullah khaira. We'll stop the recording there, inshallah.